So if you ask almost anyone who quit going to church, why? And he or she is likely going to say something like, well, I stopped going because Christians are nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. So for example, Lifeway Research did a survey about why it is that sadly 70% of 18 to 22-year-olds quit going to church. And Lifeway found that the number one reason that people stopped going to church, 27% of them, was that they just wanted a break. So many young people who want a break return later. That's hopeful. But the number two reason why people stopped going to church, I see that I should have used a bigger slide, but the numbers are good. The number two reason why people stopped going to church, a full 26%, was that church members seemed judgmental and hypocritical. The survey writers were on the mark when they suggested that hypocrisy and judgmentalism are pretty much the same thing. Because Jesus himself says, just after today's scripture reading in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. And then he added, why do you look for the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own, you hypocrite? Says Jesus. But besides having a judgmental flavor, what is hypocrisy exactly? Well, hypocrisy is putting on a show. In fact, the Greek word for actor is hypocrite. Same thing. And actors put on shows. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentions three things that religious people of his day are especially prone to showing off about. We heard about two of them in our scripture reading. First, making donations. According to our scripture for today, there were people in Jesus' day who regularly made large donations publicly, loudly, with fanfare. Look what I'm going to put in the collection plate. They did it in order to make an impression so that other people would notice them. Secondly, a little later, Jesus complains about people who show off by making a big deal of the fact that they're fasting, which was a religious practice of that day. And then third, also in today's text, Jesus says some hypocrites show off by praying loudly on the street corners. I wonder how that would go over in Toronto. And in synagogues and churches. The bottom line, though, is that hypocrisy is putting on a show, or as Jesus says later in Matthew 23, everything they do is for people to see. Now, honestly, I don't think we put much effort into showing off around here when it comes to the three things that Jesus was concerned about in his day. Fasting, praying, and giving money. There's something about Jesus' words that have really rubbed off on Western society and positively changed and shaped our culture over the past 2,000 years. So as a result, I think, of Jesus' teaching here in our culture, we generally pray in private, unless we're doing it around the dinner table or in church. We don't fast much anymore as a religious practice at all. And when we do fast, it's because we're on a diet, and we usually don't want to tell people about it. And when we donate money, we usually do so privately, unless people are running some sort of a fundraising campaign and they ask us to go public in order to publicize their charitable cause. Still, according to that survey, teens and young adults often say that they have left church because it all seems like a big show to them. If hypocrisy is putting on a show, what do young adults see in churches that offends them? If it isn't the three things Jesus mentioned. Well, to be honest, and we saw all the news about Joel Osteen not opening up his church to refugees from the hurricane, but sometimes people object to the show that the minister puts on. In fact, more than any other character in the New Testament, Jesus calls the religious leaders of his day hypocrites. No wonder. As religious leaders, we tend to want to be seen in a certain way, in a certain light, and so we act in order to measure up to our own image of what we think you want to see. So we sometimes shout our faith from the pulpits, and we strut our good work in congregational meetings, and we make sure everyone knows about all our pastoral visits and extra committee work and the many hours we worked on our sermons. Because we're putting on a show. The problem with this is that I don't really have a kind of a headline faith that I want to put out there. Because my faith struggles sometimes. I have a lot of uncertainty when it comes to the traditional doctrines of the faith, for sure. And I have a lot of doubt when it comes to being able to explain who God really is. For me, finding the right balance between expressing my honest doubts and living the kind of faith in public that I think is expected of me, excuse me, that's hard to find that balance. And if I'm not careful, acting as if I have that perfect United Church faith, liberal faith with just the right dash of doubt, I mean, if I'm not careful, that can easily become a show for me. And putting on that show can be very tiring for me, intellectually and emotionally. So it's interesting to me that when I've been able to get away from the pressures of being a faith leader, like when I went to South Africa this summer and lived anonymously for a couple of weeks, the relief of being in that anonymous situation, it just sort of floods over me. So much so that sometimes I wonder, why am I even sticking to this profession, to the ministry? But there it is. As a religious leader, just like Jesus said, I am prone to hypocrisy. I am prone to putting on a show. It's almost unavoidable, I admit it. But that's kind of how it is for all of us when we darken those doors, don't you think? You know, we all live with this divide between who we really are inside of us and what we'd like the world to see and how we project it. We all put on some sort of a show for our family, our friends, our fellow church members, our co-workers. After all, none of us is perfect, so we're hiding things and we're trying to project other things. And then, when our kids, when our teens and young adults, the ones who say the church is full of hypocrites, when they look at us, they see with the clarity of youth that we are not perfect. They see us for all of our wrinkles and all of our faults. They see that we are quick to make judgments about other people, for example, rather than be gracious and understanding. They see that we are short-tempered in private rather than the patient person we like to be seen in public. They see that we have a hard time with impulse control when it comes to food or luxuries, even though we profess to believe in the virtues of health and simplicity. They see that what we say we're concerned about, things like climate change, are also the things that we don't change our habits for. They see that we put on a show for church members and neighbors, always acting as if our lives, of course, are hunky-dory, when in fact we are depressed or broke or suffering from marital breakdown. They see us turn away from homeless beggars when they're downtown with us at a baseball game or a show. These young adults, they see in spite of the show we're putting on. And then it is the church that bears the brunt of their complaints about hypocrisy. In part, because in popular imagination and myth, the church is supposed to be the community that's perfect, the redeemed, the sanctified, rather than what we really are, which is a community of people who are in need of grace and forgiveness, a people who are trying imperfectly to figure out how to follow Jesus in a very complex situation. So they leave because we're not perfect, even when we admit we can't be perfect. But youth also leave the church because, this is interesting to me, they leave the church because church is voluntary, and they can leave. While families are not voluntary, or at least not very voluntary, and everyone has to go to the job somewhere, and school for most of us is not optional, and being a Canadian citizen is something that we can't get rid of if we're mad at Canada, but church, it is the easiest and most obvious place for idealistic teens and young adults to register the fact that they see we older folks are putting on a show. Because church is the one institution they can leave in a huff of righteous indignation. And so they do. And anyway, let's face it. Any church with its social pressures to conform like everywhere else, with its pressure to be a member of the pack, to be liked, any church with its public talk about high morals and helping others and justice for the nation and social action, every church is bound to be full of people who say one thing and do another, who claim to live for great ideals, but who get stuck in the messy details of everyday life. So as Jesus well knew, every synagogue, every church is going to be full of hypocrites putting on a show. And it is no wonder that our youth, before they become old and gray like many of us, it's no wonder that they see that and reject it because they can. It's the one place they can reject. According to Charles Taylor, Canada's best known and one of the world's most celebrated philosophers from Montreal, one of the most significant cultural values held by younger people under 40 today is something called authenticity. Authenticity. People want to be real. They don't want a show. They are allergic to shows even as they struggle with their own hypocrisies or don't. So what do we do about the charge that the church is full of hypocrites? Well, says Jesus, also in today's scripture, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That is, In matters where you can avoid showing off, avoid it. Jesus is commending a kind of very deep reserve that we all ought to have about the good things we do for others. Churches should be places where there's always an excess of helping hands and caring and a deficit of applause for that help. Because we are trying to do the right thing without making a show of it. But besides this reserve about the good we do, church ought to be a place where we can and do go public about all the ways in which we are not perfect. We should take time, sometime on most Sundays, whether it's in the congregational prayer, as it will be today, or whether it is in song, or whether it is in a prayer of confession, which I don't do very often in this church, but perhaps I should do more of, or through our personal interactions with each other, we know, and through these interactions and these actions, we should take time on Sundays to let God and others know that deep down, we are imperfect. We are needy. We are uncertain about at least some of life's big questions. And we do so by admitting to our kids over dinner, to our young adults through worship, to each other over coffee. We admit that we need the grace of forgiveness, that church is not for the perfect, but it's for the imperfect. And we go to church because in church we hear. In church we hear. Not only that we should strive to be all that we can, but in church, we hear people who have learned the habit of saying, "I'm sorry. Oh, I was wrong. Forgive me." You know, and if we can do this regularly in our youth groups, in our choirs, in our committees, together in congregational prayer, in sermons, if we can do this, spread the rumor of our need for forgiveness, we will slowly change the perception that we're hypocrites. First amongst ourselves, and then out beyond in the community. We will instead be seen as human. As followers of Jesus who strive but stumble, who ask for forgiveness but are forgiven, we will be seen as people who want to be something but are not all they could be, but it's okay because whoever we are, however we did, we are beloved by God and embraced by everyone who's here. As we start out this year, let's try as much as we're able to step off the public stage here in church and focus on who we are in real life instead. Let's allow the focus to fall sometimes on our foibles and our weaknesses. Let's make fun of them. Let's forgive them. And while we're at it, we can also try to be a little bit more forgiving of others when we see their shortcomings, and a little bit more humble in the presence of our equals. Let's be the church that Jesus loved to forgive and not the hypocrites that he condemned. Amen.